Great is thy faithfulness. God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, I like to get started with something that will make you smile. Are you there? Okay, all right. There was a grandfather sitting in his chair in the living room, and little granddaughter climbed up in his lap and looking at his face and put a little hand on his face, all wrinkled and weather-beaten and all that kind of thing, and looking intently at him. And she said, "Papaw?" He said, "Yes, honey." "Did God make you?" And she was looking at the wrinkles in his face. He said, "Yes, honey, God made me. A long time ago, God made me." She said, "Oh." She said, "Did God make me too?" He said, "Yes. Just not too long ago, God made you." She said, "God's getting better, isn't he?" You know, God can take the storms of our life and he can make us better through all things. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to begin our series looking into God's holy word about what the Bible says about prophecy. What is to come? It's kind of like looking through a telescope of time. And I've enjoyed looking through telescopes as a kid, and it always amazed me how you could see so much farther if you look through a telescope. And when you look through the prophecy of God's holy word, you can see through time what God has planned, and it's encouraging. Now, this will be a 7-week study on Sunday evening starting tonight. So I encourage you to come back. This morning, we're going to look at what the Bible says about the promises of prophecy. What the Bible promises as we study the Word of God in what He has to tell us about the future and what it means to us. There's a lot of times that people wonder, why should we study prophecy? Is it because we want to know all these amazing answers and be able to debate and all these kinds of things? No. There's some personal reasons. There's some benefits. Some people would say, "Well, I'm not even going to be here during the tribulation period. I don't want to know about the tribulation period." There's some good things that you will glean from it spiritually that will encourage your heart today. We're going to look at some of those promises of prophecy this morning. Let's begin reading, please, in verse number 3, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Blessed. The word blessed means happy. Happy is he. The promise that God has given to us is joy and happiness as we look at, and you might say, "Well, some of these things you're talking about are a little bit frightening. Some of these things you're talking about that God has revealed to us that's going to take place, that's in his plan, they're not good." But you see, God can weave all things for our good and for his glory, just like all of our life. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the songs that our ears have heard. Our hearts have sensed the truth of your word, even through the music. And Lord, I pray now that you would bless in this time. Help us to center upon Jesus Christ, for that is who Revelation is all about, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Help us now to worship him, to listen. May your Holy Spirit direct and guide our hearts. Lord, put a watch upon my mouth, I pray. And thank you for what you're going to do. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. 1/4 of the Bible is devoted to prophecy. So it behooves us to not ignore what God has in store for us. God has a plan. And there are 5 things that I believe that we'll see in God's Word here today that'll be a blessing to us. 5 different ways that prophecy can be a blessing in our life. I'll give you them in case you're going to nod off. Here you go. Prophecy inspires us to praise. Prophecy gives us peace. Prophecy causes us to pray. Prophecy leads us to purity. And prophecy moves us to proclaim. This thought of praise. You know, we need to praise the Lord. That's what a lot of our music is about. Some of our music is to encourage one another, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And perhaps sometimes someone's a little bit burdened down and we sing a song like, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." And we sing about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, encourages us, strengthens our hands, helps us to refocus upon Him. Prophecy has that way of, we turn prophecy into praise. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter, just a few pages to the left there. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. The Bible says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now, in the context here, he's talking about how Peter witnessed Jesus being transfigured before his very eyes. There in the Mount of Transfiguration, he spoke with Moses and Elijah about his soon coming crucifixion, about the redemption for the sins of all mankind. And he's conferring with them, and they see him in a little glimpse of his glory. And they see him transfigured, and it was a life-changing experience. And he says in that context, he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy than what I saw. I was an eyewitness." He goes on to say, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Pause there for a moment. He said, as much as I can attest to the fact of what I saw, Jesus transfigured, I saw him in a little glimpse of the glory of the Son of God. He said, there's something more important than that, more sure than that, something that you can be settled on. Don't have to take my word for it. He goes on and it says in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." And there's that word prophecy again. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And he explains what he means in the next verse. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit of God moved upon holy men of God and revealed to them what God knows is going to take place. Satan does not know the future, folks. He is not omniscient. He knows prophecy. He knows the Bible. But God knows what is going to take place. And he's revealed some of that to us in his word. Now, he has not revealed everything that's going to take place. The Gospel of John says that if all that could be shared was written down, he figured that the world itself could not contain the books. And so God does not tell us everything about heaven, about everything about his plan, but he tells us enough that we can have faith and that we can follow him. And so this thought of turning prophecy into praise. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." Every time you see something, and you're going to hear on Sunday nights some prophecy that God has given, and we see how this can be fulfilled and that can be fulfilled right before our very eyes. We see in the past all the prophecies, the hundreds of prophecies that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ to the letter. I mean, every dot, every jot. He fulfilled all the law. He fulfilled all the prophecies of the Messiah. And just as he did that, and just as he said, "I lay down my life and I have power to take it up again," he fulfilled his own promise, his own evidence that he's the Son of God by raising from the dead. As we see God's 100% track record, then we know that everything in the future is going to take place just as God said to. We can trust in him, and we can praise him. He's worthy of our praise. Prophecy also not only gives us an opportunity to turn prophecy into praise, it also gives an opportunity to turn prophecy into peace. We not only find the answer to history and the mystery of history, and we see all of that, how God has put all that together, and the kingdoms of this world are going to be the kingdoms of our Christ. But also in our daily life, God's not done yet. There's sorrow, there's burdens, there's problems, there's circumstances. Please don't live your life on circumstances. Please lead your life upon the promises of God's holy word, upon the scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time." Now, please understand that there are some Bible teachers that would say that if you're going through troubled times, then you're not right with God. Because if you're right with God, then everything will be rosy and shiny and wonderful, and everything will be just grand and glorious, and you'll have the victory of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Don't you think that the Apostle Paul was walking with God? Don't you think that he was filled with the Spirit of God? Don't you think that he was right with the Lord? And yet there was the messenger of Satan that God sent to buffet him, that he prayed that God would remove that on three seasons of prayer and asked God to remove that from him. And the Lord said, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Apostle Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You're going through some difficulties in your life. You're going through sorrows. You're going through loss. You're going through times that people, something should have happened to you. There should have been a promotion. You got passed over because you had morals, because you were a man or a lady of principle. There's lies being told about you, misunderstandings about you. There's things going on in your life, and you think, "Why, God, are you allowing this to happen?" God has a plan. He's not done yet. Turn prophecy into peace. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans 8:18 is a great verse for you to mark and highlight and circle. It's kind of like that verse 10 verses on down. It talks about how that God's in charge and he is in control. Through prophecy, we understand that God is not finished. The tragedies of this earth will be turned to the triumphs of heaven. For the sake of time, I'm going to just share this thought, and then we're gonna press on. I was reading about this family in Tennessee. They were members of a church like ours. And this family, they were faithful. The doors were open. They were there. They had a 14-year-old teenage daughter, precious, loved the Lord, was saved. Was baptized, involved in the youth group, and all of that kind of thing. And they were having a special service one night, and they were singing in the congregation, singing, "God is so good." We sing that chorus here, don't we? "God is so good, God, he answers prayer, he's coming soon." You know, all those different verses. God is so good, and he's good all the time. And as they were singing that in that church in Tennessee, someone entered the back door and tapped the dad on the shoulder, saying, "He talked to you." Took him outside. All of a sudden, he came back in. He got his wife. They both left the church service. The pastor did not know what was going on. That teenage girl was with another girl in the church. And there was a tragic car accident. I don't know all the details. The tragic car accident, and their daughter, the 14-year-old precious little girl, went out to eternity to be with the Lord. While they're singing, "God is so good." A few days before that church service, the daughter came in and said, "Dad, I want to read you a poem." Said, I've been working on this poem, and I've written it for a class in school, and I wanted to read it to you." It was about 3 days before that evening. And here's the poem she read to her daddy. "Mommy, please don't cry. Jesus sings to me a lullaby. We run through fields of shimmering gold. He tells me stories of days of old. I can run and play now and climb a tree. Did you know he plays with me? Jesus said I could write you. He knows your days are sad and blue. But mommy, there's not pain now. It's gone away. I'm home again, and I really want to stay. I've seen daddy pretend to be strong and brave, but I see tears at the foot of the grave. Daddy, don't you know that I'm really not there? I have a mansion here, high in the air. Mommy, hold daddy close and be happy once more. I'll be waiting to greet you at heaven's door. Together we'll run through fields of gold. And you know what, mommy? We'll never grow old. Mommy and daddy, please don't cry. Jesus sings me a lullaby. 3 days before that tragic accident, she stood there and read that poem to her daddy. Don't you know that they cherish that piece of paper that she wrote? Folks, God knew what was going to take place. Does God's plan always mesh with our desires? No, no. But God's plan is always best. And about 3 weeks after the funeral service of that dear 14-year-old teenage girl, the pastor of that church was standing greeting people as they were leaving and things. And the dad came by, and he read that verse I just read for you, Romans 8:18. He says, "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He said, "I'm thankful that I can trust in my heavenly Father." Folks, prophecy gives us peace in spite of problems. It gives us joy in spite of burdens. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Prophecy not only turns us to praise and turns us to peace, but also turns us to prayer. You know, the last prayer in the Bible is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. It says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." The last prayer has to do with prophecy. When Jesus taught about prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You and I are to pray. When we see what God has in store, what God has planned, it should drive us to intercede in prayer. "Yes, Lord, help me to be in touch with you, to be in step with you, to be serving you, pleasing you." Prophecy causes us to pray. It should turn us to prayer. Praise, peace, prayer. Turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll look at this fourth principle and promise of prophecy. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's prophecy. That's prophecy. Now, the Bible goes on to tell us, "And whoso hath this hope in him purifieth himself." Purifieth himself. Have you ever had a job that you had to do for someone and you had a certain amount of time to do it in, and you knew that you were going to be inspected, there was going to be an audit, or there was going to be some kind of inventory or something like that that would take place? We had inventory in grocery business. Finances have audits and all these kinds of things. You know when something is coming, an inspection is coming. In Bible college, you had a cleaning inspection in your dorm. Guys, I imagine you have that kind of thing. I've heard it called, sometimes there's a white glove inspection. And they actually come in with a white glove. I've heard of colleges that actually do that. And they actually, you know, make sure that there's no dust and no grime and corners are clean and all that kind of thing. Now, it's terrible when you don't know when that inspection is coming. That's difficult. If you can plan for it, then that's great. Do you realize that as a Christian, we're not given any signs for the rapture? We're going to deal with that on our Sunday night services. But there's no signs for the rapture. There's signs for the second coming. And tonight we're going to look at God's stopwatch of prophecy. God's stopwatch of prophecy. And God's stopwatch is Israel. That's his timepiece. It's Israel. But as far as the church is concerned, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, they were looking for his imminent return. Just as you and I are looking for his imminent return. He could come today, that last soul to be drawn into the family of God, to be saved, that last person, and Jesus Christ could come and break through the clouds and call us home. It could take place in 2 years from now. It could take place 5 years from now. I don't know. I believe he's coming soon. But I can't set a date. It could happen right now. That behooves you and me. It leads us to a purified life, living in his soon coming. And prophecy moves us last to proclaim. Turn your Bibles, please, to Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant." Now this is the Apostle John in this vision of prophecy. And there's an angel that's been leading him and showing him here and there different things that God wanted him to see. And he's bowing down before the angel, and he says, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That's a powerful statement. What it's simply saying is this: prophecy should lead us to proclaim. Prophecy should lead us to warn people to fear the wrath to come. It's not for us to get spiritually fat with great truth, to know what the hangnail on the great toe of the left foot of the beast in certain part of Revelation. It's not for us to brag that we have all this knowledge, that when God reveals something to us in his word, that we think of that uncle, we think of that grandchild, we think of that mom or that dad that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we're wondering, how, Lord, can I reach them? And we intercede on their behalf. And we pray for them, we lift them up. Why? Because we believe what God has said. Some of the meanest people I've ever known sometimes have been people that knew a lot about prophecy. That's not the goal of prophecy. The goal of prophecy is to have a broken heart, to have a brokenness. And yes, we have peace that we've read the end of the book and we're on the winning side. We have peace. We have joy that carries us through the burdens and the trials and the storms of this life. And so that we can reach out to people that don't know Christ as their Savior and warn them. When I was in, that's probably ninth grade, I was taking geometry. And I don't know if you had math books like this. I think it was the same in algebra, I believe. In the back of the book, they had some of the answers. Did they have that? Now, in my books, it was only the odd-numbered questions that had the answers there, the even numbers. And so for homework, the teacher would say, okay, do all the odds, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, do all the odd questions. And the idea was that you would work all the formula and get it all, done, and then you could check your work at the end and see if you got it right or not. And flipping back to the back of the book was encouraging to know, hey, I got it right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's great. God has given us the truth of what he has planned and what is going to take place. And by the way, his plan will not change. There are people in our culture, in our world today, that have given up fighting against Christianity and against prophecy and all this kind of thing. They're acknowledging it. They're willing to accept that there is a God. They're willing to even accept that he has created and designed all of this. They're willing to accept all of this, but then they're not willing to accept the end. They believe that they can change the end result. I believe that is going to be a lie that Satan is going to really promote and build strongly. But you see, I am Jesus. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And just as every prophecy was fulfilled in the past to the nth degree, it's going to be fulfilled as well in the future. Jesus came as an evangelist. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." If there's anything that comes out of this prophecy on series, that series on prophecy, anything that comes out of that, I'm praying that it would be a greater burden for the lost who need to be saved. I want you to have a clear vision of what God is going to do in this world. Now, it's going to bring some good things to light. God is a God of justice, and there's a lot of injustice in this world. A lot of people are proclaimed guilty that should have been innocent. And a lot of people are found innocent that should have been found guilty. But in God's court, there's going to be justice. "Vengeance is mine," he said. "I will repay, saith the Lord." There is no sin that will go unjudged. He is the judge of all the earth, the thrice holy God. And so I ask you this question. Do you know God through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you took communion. I didn't ask you if you're a member of this church or another church. I didn't ask you if you got baptized. None of those things are wrong. All those things are good, but none of those things will get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, ma'am, sir, if you were in that car wreck that 14-year-old girl was in, where would you be spending forever? Where would you be in eternity? Mary Vance, she's with the Lord. She's been with the Lord now for three days almost. She's beginning that eternal life, and she's waiting for family. Who's in heaven waiting for you? And are they heartbroken because they might not see you in heaven? This is the question that you must answer and have settled in your heart and your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Jesus left heaven to introduce you to God the Father. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." If you want to see God's heaven, the only way is through Jesus Christ. I wonder who would say, "Preacher, I remember the day that I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I believed on him as my only way to heaven. His death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that he is the Savior, and I trusted him with my eternal home." I might have been a boy, I might have been a girl, it might have been 10, 20 years ago. But Brother Mark, I know that I put my faith and trust in him. I'm trusting Jesus to take me to heaven. That's my testimony. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. As a testimony and praise to the Lord, would you lift your hand if that describes you? God bless you. Put your hands down. Hands all over the room. There's no way I could see every person, but I would like to pray with those who are honest enough to keep their hand down. Thank you for your honesty. I won't embarrass you, I promise. I want to pray with you and for you. If you'd say, "You know, I've battled this, and I just don't know that heaven's my home. I don't have that settled, and I would like to know that I'm going to heaven when I die." Brother Mark, if you'll not embarrass me, I want you to pray for me that I'll be saved before it's too late. No one's looking. No one's going to point you out. If you slip your hand up and take it right back down right now, pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't know, and I'm struggling with that. Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? "Preacher, I've been struggling with this. God knows my heart. I'm honest with him. He already knows, so I just might as well just admit it. Preacher, pray for me too. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Would you pray for me?" Slip your hand up and put it right back down. I'll pray with you and for you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Before we pray, I'm going to ask this last question. As we describe what's going to take place according to God's holy word, what's going to take place and could start taking place this afternoon. If the rapture were to take place, then the clock starts after that. And once that clock starts, it's not stopping. God's timepiece, God's plan of prophecy. How many of us would say, Brother Mark, I have some family members or I have close, dear friends. I don't know or I have settled with great assurance in my heart that they're not saved. They do not give testimony of their salvation in Jesus Christ. I cannot bear the thought of not spending eternity with them. I'm burdened for them. I'm interceding and I'm praying. And I want to just right now remind the Lord that I'm praying that these loved ones and these friends will be saved. If there's someone's face upon your heart right now, someone's name upon your mind, would you lift your hand and hold it, Christian? Many, many of us. Many, many of us. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now, dear Lord, I thank you for these wonderful folks that admitted what you already know. They admitted that they don't know that heaven's their home. Thank you, Lord, for their honesty with me. Lord, you already know that. You've revealed that. You've convicted their heart here today. I pray, Lord, you'd give us an opportunity to open the Bible and show them how they can know that heaven's their home. What you said in your word, the authority of the Bible. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon their heart. Help them to come down the aisle. Let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Lord, that be settled here today before they leave. Lord, there are many of us who had our hands up, said, Lord, remember so-and-so. Remember Uncle so-and-so, Aunt so-and-so, my friend, my employee, my neighbor. Lord, I'm burdened that they'll be saved. Lord, I pray that you would move upon their hearts. Lord, that we will intercede on their behalf. Lord, some you will even move upon their heart to come and pray and to lift up their name here up front at the altar. I invite you, Lord, please, to convict us and help us to realize that we're standing in the way of your judgment upon them. Lord, we intercede. Lord, I pray for those that need to join this church and go to work for God here. Lord, would you lead them? Those that need to follow you in believers' baptism, Lord, that they would be obedient as well this morning. Whatever it is that God, you are doing in their heart and their life, Lord, I pray that we all would surrender and be obedient. I pray this in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I do, Brother Lyle is going to sing a song. We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you raised your hand a moment ago and you said, I don't know that heaven's my home. I don't know that I'm saved. Let us take the Bible and show you how to make heaven your home. Jesus, your Savior. We'll take the Bible and show you. You'll leave here redeemed and heaven bound. If you raise your hand a moment ago saying, I need to pray for someone, I invite you to come. I invite you to come and lift up their name to the Lord. As we stand to our feet, would you come? Come on. As Brother Lyle sings, you come on right now. I've won. Come on, would you please? Lift up those loved ones, those neighbors, those friends. Others are coming. How about you? Stand between you and between them and God. Day that Jesus Christ perhaps wants to save your soul. Young man, God has convicted you. God has told you you need to be saved. Would you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Take the first step and He'll take the rest with you. You just make that first step of decision for Him. Never more to roam. I've won. Now I'm coming home. There's time for you. It could be someone here is praying for you. Perhaps someone saw you raise your hand, heard a little rustle during that time. Someone's praying for you. Jesus Christ is here waiting on you. If you're not saved, if you're not sure the heaven's your home, don't leave here rejecting Jesus. Sing the chorus, would you please? Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for honoring your word. Lord, I pray that you would help the dear folks who raised their hand a moment ago that said, I don't know that heaven's my home. I know they're scared, but Lord, they need to be scared of hellfire, need to be scared of your judgment, need to be scared of eternity without you. And I pray, Lord, that they would seek someone out before they leave. Lord, that they would settle their eternal destiny upon your promise of your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and may be seated. We're done early and on purpose, because we have a couple of men that are going to be baptized, and we're rejoicing about that. So I'm going to slip on back there if you